You are listening to Radio Maria Canada, a Catholic voice wherever you are.
I've got no regrets. I wouldn't change a single
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Father's Quilt. I'm your host, Christina Doyle. Thanks again for joining us today. Well, Padre Pio, let's say I have a little beautiful prayer for you for Padre Pio. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. O God, you gave St. Pio of Petrocina, Capuchin priest, the great privilege of participating in a unique way in the Passion of your Son. Grant us through his intercession the grace of which we ardently desire, and above all, grant us the grace of living in conformity with the death of Jesus to arrive at the glory of the resurrection. We'll say glory to the Father three times. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Well, Pope Francis said that many admire Padre Pio, but few imitate him. Many people admire St. Padre Pio, but too few imitate him, especially in his care for the weak, the sick, and those whom modern culture treats as disposable. Pope Francis said this during a Mass at Padre Pio's shrine. Many are ready to like the page of the great saints, but who does what they do? Who does what they do? The Pope asked. The Christian life is not an I like, but an I give myself. Pope Francis had celebrated the Mass outside the shrine of St. Pio, Petrocina, with about 30,000 people after visiting children in the cancer ward of the hospital of St. Pio founded. And in his homily, the Pope reflected on three words that really summarized the day's readings. And he said that the life of Padre Pio, prayer, smallness, and wisdom. Smallness, he said, calls to mind those whose hearts who are humble, poor and needy like the young patients cared for in Padre Pio's hospital, and those in who today's world are unwanted and discarded. Departing from his prepared text, Pope Francis said that he remembers being taught in school about the Spartans, who, when a boy or a girl was born with malformations, they would take them to the top of the mountain and throw them over. We children would say, how cruel, the Pope said. But brothers and sisters, we do the same thing, with more cruelty and more knowledge. Whatever isn't useful, whatever doesn't produce, is thrown away. This is the throwaway culture. The little ones are not wanted today. Those who take care of children are on the side of God and defeat the throwaway culture, which on the contrary prefers the powerful and considers the poor useless, he said. Those who prefer the little ones proclaim a prophecy of life against the prophets of death of every age. Only with wisdom, motivated by love and charity for others, can true strength be found, he said. Christians aren't called simply to admire great saints like Padre Pio, but rather to imitate their way of fighting evil wisely, with humility, with obedience, with the cross, offering pain for love. Prayer, he said, is a gesture of love that's often stifled by excuses and leads to Christians forgetting that without God, we can do nothing. We must ask ourselves, do our prayers resemble that of Jesus, or are they reduced to an occasional emergency calls? Or do we use them as tranquilizers to be taken in regular doses to relieve stress, the Pope has mentioned. Padre Pio recognized throughout his life that prayer heals the sick, sanctifies work, elevates health care, and gives moral strength. Pope Francis began his day of tribute to St. Pio with an early morning visit to Petrichina, where the Capuchin saint was born in 1887. Thousands had waited outside the square of the Chapel of the Stigmata, which houses a piece of the elm tree Padre Pio sat in front of when he first received the stigmata. Wounds on his feet, hands, and side, corresponding to those Jesus suffered at the crucifixion in September 1918. Pope Francis entered the chapel, where he prayed privately for a few minutes before making his way to the square to greet the faithful and standing in front of an iconic image of a young Padre Pio bearing the wounds of Christ's crucifixion in his hands. The Pope said that it was in Petrichina that the future saint strengthened his own humanity, where he learned to pray and recognize the poor, the flesh of Christ. He loved the church. He loved the church with all its problems, with all its woes, with all its sins, because we are all sinners. We feel shame. But the Spirit of God has brought us here to this church, which is holy, and he loved the holy church and its sinful children everywhere. This was Padre Pio. And recalling the time in Padre Pio's life when he returned to Petrichina while he was ill, the Pope said that the saintly Capuchin felt he was assailed by the devil and feared falling into sin. Departing from his prepared remarks, the Pope asked the people if they believed the devil existed. When only, how many would you think? Well, only a handful of people responded. He told them, it didn't seem they were totally convinced. I'm going to have to tell the bishop to give some catechises, he said jokingly. Does the devil exist or not? Yes, the crowd responded loudly. Christians, he continued, should follow the example of the Capuchin saint, who did not fall into despair, but instead found refuge in prayer and put his trust in Christ. All of theology is contained here. If you have a problem, if you are sad, if you are sick, abandon yourself in Jesus' arms. Abandon yourself, brothers and sisters. So, there some really great lessons to learn about Padre Pio. When he was a theology student, Padre Pio's health was so bad that his professor had said to him, "Your health isn't good, so you can't become a preacher. My hopes for you that you will be great and a conscientious confessor." How true these words were to become. It is now reliably estimated that during his lifetime, Padre Pio heard about 5 million confessions. When he was a young priest, he spent most of his day hearing confessions. From 1918 to 1923, he heard confessions 15 to 19 hours a day. During the 40s and 50s, when he was in his early 60s, he reduced this to about 8 hours a day. In 1962, 83,035 women and 19,837 men filled in a form asking to go to confession to Padre Pio, an average of about 273 people per day. In 1967, the year before he died, at the age of 81, Padre Pio confessed about 15,000 women and 10,000 men, an average of 70 people per day. And the question we must inevitably ask, what made him such an outstanding confessor? Why did people flock to him to go to confession? And part of the answer is something that would appeal to most of us. He was quick. The average confession made to Padre Pio only lasted 3 minutes. But more importantly, he demanded that each confession be a true conversion, a real meeting in faith with Jesus Christ, whom he represented in the confessional. And the Christ that he represented was kindly, welcoming, honest, and full of forgiveness. As we tend to say, that was then and this is now. When we look to Pope Francis to see how he would capture some of the spirit of Padre Pio as a confessor, Pope Francis has very clear words of advice to all of us, including priests who hear confessions. He says, confession is not a judgment, but a meeting with God. That's a good one, huh? But brothers and sisters, do you like that? Let's remember that one. Confession is not a judgment, but a meeting with God. And who doesn't want to meet God? And when you look at it like that, how does confession look now as a wonderful opportunity to sit down with God and have a heart-to-heart talk? Confessions often seem like a procedure, a formality. Everything seems mechanical. But where is the meeting in this? The meeting is with the Lord, who pardons us, who hugs us and rejoices. And this is our God, who is so good. We too need to teach others, to teach our children, our youngsters, to make a good confession. Because going to confession is not like going to the dry cleaners to get a stain removed. No, it's about going to meet with our Father, who pardons us, who forgives us, and who rejoices. In short, what the Pope is saying is this: forget about the human being who is the priest in the confessional. Forget about whether you can remember all your sins or not. Forget about when you were there last. When we go to confession, we meet with God, the loving Father who wants to forgive us our sins and put our minds to rest. And the Pope had some very important advice for priests and for confessions, who hear confessions, I'm sorry. He said, it is important, therefore, that the confessor also be a channel of joy, and that the faithful, after being pardoned, no longer feel the oppression or guilt, but can relish God's work, which has freed them to live in thanksgiving, ready to repair the harm done, and to go meet their brothers and sisters with a good and willing heart. And he also said, we cannot risk frustrating the desire of the sinner to be reconciled with the Father. For what the Father awaits more than anything, is for his sons and daughters to return home. So therefore, brothers and sisters, if you know you've just maybe started listening to this broadcast and you've stumbled onto Radio Maria, nothing is by accident, nothing is coincidental. everything has a reason. Everything has a purpose. You have a purpose. You have been brought here to listen to Radio Maria for a reason. God has sought you out. He's called you out. He wanted you to listen today. And he wants you to know that you are forgiven, that you don't have to fear anything. You don't have to be fearful or ashamed or walk around with a bunch of guilt on your shoulders. Excuse me, I just have to drink some water here. Well, I hope you didn't hear that gulp. But you know, brothers and sisters, the evil one wants you to feel guilty and ashamed and feel so low and so badly about yourself that you feel worthless. But God is a God of love and of mercy. God is waiting for us, for each of us, to come to him. And tell him that we love him, that we need him in our lives, that we can't go on without him, that we need him in everything. You know, brothers and sisters, sometimes, and I don't know if it's most times, to be honest, but when we are struggling, we are searching, aren't we? We're searching for relief. We're searching for a way out, to get out of the tunnel, to get out of the hole, to get out of the darkness. Jesus is the light. Jesus. When you have Jesus in your life, there is a light inside of you, a joy and a love that you want to tell everybody how amazing God is. We have a mighty God, brothers and sisters, who created this beautiful world. We make a choice. We make a choice. Do we follow him or do we listen to what the pagan world wants you to listen to? So we make choices all the time. Do we go to Mass or do we sleep in? Do we go to confession or say, I'm too ashamed? It is the most wonderful feeling coming out of confession, brothers and sisters. It is the most wonderful release. That you finally, you've laid the cards on the table. You've said, here it is. This is my problem. This is what I've come to share. My sins, to repent, to ask for forgiveness. And you will get that forgiveness. And you will feel free, free. The evil one doesn't want you to do that. Just like I said before, the power of the rosary. The evil one doesn't want you praying the rosary, doesn't want you to go to church, doesn't want you to go to confession, doesn't want you to partake in the Eucharist. Doesn't want any of that. So we're not here to please him. We are here to serve our Almighty God. God who created us, who gave us life, who gave us breath, who gave us eyes to see, ears to hear, to smell, to touch, to taste things, to hold and embrace, to feel the wind on our face. Brothers and sisters, we have so much to be grateful for to God Almighty. He's blessed us with so much. Please, brothers and sisters, even in the midst of your suffering, go to confession, go to Mass. You will feel such freedom and that strength that can only come from God. And so we cannot risk, as I said before, we cannot risk the frustrating the desire of the sinner to be reconciled with the Father. For what the Father awaits more than anything is for his sons and daughters to return home. The Pope expects us, priests, to be channels of joy and of mercy. And if he expects that of us, so can you. And if we're not, then you have the right then to tell us this. And what he expects of us when we go to confession as priests, that we would come out feeling that a burden has been lifted off our shoulders. And that's for all of us. And if a burden has been lifted off your shoulders, my friends, then you will feel free, be happy and rejoice, and be ready to repair any damage done by the sins we've committed. And he has some more advice for us when we come out of confession. He says, after the priest's absolution Every repentant member of the faithful has the certainty, like it's guaranteed through faith, that his sins are no more. They no longer exist. God is omnipotent. I'd like to think that he has one weakness, a bad memory. Once he has forgiven you, he forgets. And this is great. The sins no longer exist. They've been wiped away by divine mercy. So you don't need to tell me that people no longer go to confession on a regular basis in the way in which people went to confession in the past. The question that inevitably arises from this is, how often should we go to confession? The Catechism says at least once a year. Padre Pio said once a week, and he uses a homely example. He said, this is Padre Pio's words, even if a room is closed, it is necessary to dust it after a week. The Pope says that he goes to confession every 15 days, namely twice a month, he said. Even I go to confession every 15 days because the Pope is also a sinner. For me, it's not so much how often we go, but what happens when we go. And what is important is that when we go, we come away feeling that we have just met God, the merciful Father, who has listened to us, forgiven us, and assured us that he has a bad memory because of our sins no longer exist. They have been wiped away by divine mercy, and we can make a fresh start in our attempt to live a good life. So, is there a place for confession in the future? In my opinion, absolutely. Just recall what Pope Francis has said, and then think about how it could change the lives of so many people who feel down in today's world. God has a bad memory. Once he has forgiven you, he forgets. And if God forgets, then he expects all of us who have been forgiven to forget. Forget the hurt felt as a result of untrue gossip. Forget the hurt of the harsh word uttered by a husband or a wife or a child or even a neighbor. Forget the neglect we have shown to people we should have cared for. And the list is endless. If Pope Francis can say that God has a bad memory, then we should be able to say to ourselves, forgive and forget. Let me give the last word to Pope Francis. He says, Catholics must be helped to see that when they are forgiven, they must learn to forgive others. This is a task to which we are called, especially in the face of the bitterness that entraps too many people who need to find again the joy of interior serenity and the taste of peace. So, my brothers and sisters, today's broadcast was a little different. I didn't get into the history of Padre Pio. I wanted very much to show you of what he represents and what we can take from Padre Pio, his teachings. And this is so important. One of the things we seem to do, and it's unfortunate, and I hope you try not to fall into this, but when you do go to confession, when you walk out of there, maybe with Kleenex in your hands and wet eyes, and the priest has already given that absolution of sin, in other words, your sins have been absolved, you're forgiven, you're starting a new day, a new day, a new life, a new beginning, a fresh start. We must forgive ourselves. We can't be holding on to that and allowing the guilt to reign in our lives and to hold on to that guilt. Sometimes people hold on to it like as if it's some kind of a badge. But we have to let it go. And you need, Pope Francis had said, to forgive and to forget. That's what we have to do, brothers and sisters. We just can't keep hanging on to the negativity. We have to, that's why we went to confession, for freedom, for peace, for repentance, to acknowledge our sins, to say, yes, I am a sinner. And brothers and sisters, this is not to say you're not going to sin again. Well, that would be impossible, right? We all are sinners and we do continue to sin. But we always go back to our Father. Remember, it's a meeting with God. It's not a judgment day and Father is sitting there listening to you give your sins and talking about it and all the things or whatever has happened in your life that he's going to bring down the axe on you and yell at you or something as if like a child. No, he is there to listen, to pray with you, to absolve your sins because he is representing God. And so, brothers and sisters, you must believe when you walk out of the confessional that your sins are forgiven, that you are forgiven, that you're good to go. You are good to go and live your life the way you're supposed to, being positive, being faithful, trusting God, and doing the right thing, and doing and saying the right thing. Sometimes we all need a muzzle over our mouth. Some of that electrician's tape, you know, that's pretty heavy-duty tape. We probably would get in a lot less trouble if we had a tape over our mouth. Maybe listen more rather than talk more. Maybe develop some listening skills. You don't always have to give your opinion, right? You don't always have to be the one talking in the group. You could be the one just listening and taking it in. And I think that's important, brothers and sisters. I think we just have to realize that confession is good for you. It's good for our body. It's good for our spirit. It's good for our soul. To clean ourselves. We say, you know, Lord Jesus, in Scripture, give me a clean heart. Well, you get a clean heart by repenting your sins, by coming up front, being up front with it, and being honest with ourselves. And we know we don't like it, and it makes us uncomfortable, but you know what, brothers and sisters? It's the best thing ever when you just, you know, acknowledge that, you know, you went wrong somewhere or you did something. Acknowledge it, bring it to Father, and allow Father, your parish priest, to absolve your sins. And do the right thing afterwards. Focus on God. Keep your eyes on Him. Don't focus on the past. The past is long gone. Thank goodness. It's gone. The good and the bad and the ugly, it's gone. Look towards the future. Look to live your life right here in the now. All right? So, my friends, that was on Padre Pio, and we might be able to go into more on Padre Pio on the next broadcast because it's such an interesting story and an amazing saint. So, brothers and sisters, thank you so much for being with me today here on The Father's Quilt. I'm your host, Christina Doyle. God bless you and hope to see you at church one day. Bye for now. I've got no